Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Matt and Dwight Just Might, a podcast about two Midwest-based comedians who are figuring out as they make their way through comedy and life and everything in between. My name is Matt Alano Martin. With me, as always, is Dwight Simmons. Dwight, how are you today?
I am fantastic. I'm in a good mood, even though I just got an email from a booker that I've worked with a lot that said, sorry, Dwayne, but that date is not available. So that one hasn't sunk in yet.
Can't believe that Jared did you like that. You recorded your special there and everything. No, yeah.
It was a weird way to spell Dwayne too. It was like D-E capital W-A-Y. It was like, all right.
Really?
Yeah, it was weird.
Now, is there a comedian name with that spelling of Dwayne? I'm Googling it now to see if they think that you're somebody else.
Dwayne Perkins, who's not a comedian from the Midwest, figuring it out. They figured it out already, but...
Yeah, they look like they've got a lock on it. Yeah.
Like, it's happened like when someone brings you on stage, they mispronounce your name. And sure. I feel like that's more forgivable than firing off an email.
Yeah.
Hey, Dwayne, this is almost as bad as the time I was, they used Chris Red's picture instead of mine for a promo. Almost.
A classic for sure. Well, I'm sure that now, how are you going to handle this? They put the wrong name in and they said they didn't have that date. So how are you going to respond to this email?
I think I'm just going to leave it on red, right?
Okay.
Well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make a very public social media post and I'm going to boost it.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm going to burn this person to the ground.
Talk about how racist they are. Every black man with a D name looks the same in their email account. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Like, my name is in my email address. Yeah. It's just Dwight Simmons comedy.
Yeah.
Good for you, Dwayne. Jesus Christ. Yeah. I don't know. How would you go about responding to this? You just like leave it, right?
I don't know. I would just reply back as if I wouldn't point out that they got my name wrong. I would just be like, I would follow back up with like, okay, cool. Thanks for letting me know. I could also possibly do this date. Like, if you're asking for a specific date for routing and, you know, there is another date you can come back or whatever. So, you know, like, don't just let, you know, because then hopefully they're going to realize on the return email, you know, and then definitely sign my name is the correct name. You know, to the email, but hopefully on the return, then they would see what they did and they would feel bad. And then they would give you that secondary date that you asked for, the follow-up one.
I like the leverage. I'm going to leverage it like that. I'm going to attach like four different posters with my name on it with giant headshots.
Is this just like a club weekend that you were trying to do, or was this like a routing thing that you're trying to put together?
No, they asked me. They sent me like five dates.
Even better.
And I picked one and they said that's already been taken. Oh, Dwayne.
You know, now that you said that, I think I know exactly who it is.
Yep, I'm sure you do.
I'm going to put it in the chat. How do we do the chats on here?
There's a bottom at the bottom that says chat.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that would make sense.
But it would surprise our longtime listeners to find out that this booker is from Michigan. Yep, nailed it.
Yep.
Nailed it.
Well, definitely get one of those other dates. Like, I mean, they're probably also offering you a show in Michigan. And so that's also part of the hesitation.
I know.
And why you don't want to reply back.
It took me a long time to reply to this one before last night. I had a couple brewskis and then said, I'll go back to Michigan in December or whenever the hell it was.
Yeah. And you know, that's why that date was gone. It's because you waited too long.
Mm-hmm.
Dwayne, don't do that anymore. All right.
Welcome back to Dwayne and Matt. Oh, man. What about you? How are you doing?
I'm okay. You know, it is interesting because this idea of, you don't want to, you know, you don't have a great track record with one-nighters in Michigan. You haven't had a lot of fun at them, but you still are going to, you're going to suck it up and go do it. And I had a similar thing where I just dedicated my Saturday shows at the Attic when I was featuring for Shanda this past weekend. I was like, I'm going to just do as clean as I can possibly do 20 minutes. I'm just going to do like a dry bar level of clean, essentially, is what I kind of that's what I was sort of like going for, because I recently was asked to submit to do a family friendly 25 minute set, and I just couldn't because I didn't have any tape. Right. Yeah. I had like, and so, you know, no jokes about sex whatsoever, you know, just like. And I actually had a ton of fun with it. I actually, like, they were good shows. Sets were good. And, you know, now that I've got it, but it's like, I was really on the fence. Like, even between shows, I was like, oh, maybe this late when I'll just actually talk about what I want to talk about.
Yeah.
And not do this. Yeah. And not be very like, because I had to bring back some old jokes and stuff like that. But I stuck with it, which I'm glad I did, because the second show was better and I got this tape or whatever. But yeah, we all have these fighting against our better natures, essentially, where like there's so much of this that you're just like, I just don't want to do that. Don't want to do, but you're like, but you know, it's $200 or it'll get me this tape. So the next time I get this, you know, because it was a pretty big gig opening in a huge theater, right? You know? And so it's like, all right, it would have been nice to do that. And so I was caught unprepared, you know, because I just didn't have the tape. And so now I got the tape and it's fine.
That's good.
Yeah, I did draw a line though, because I did start to go. I shot the early show and the late show from two different angles, and so I was like, oh, I'm going to edit it together. So then the strongest joke, you know, each set or whatever, and I started to do that today, and I'm like, what am I doing? And this isn't a special. It's like the only thing this is going to get used for is, and it's not like, yeah, it's to, you know, when the random time like Avery or somebody else reaches out to me and says, hey, do you want to submit for this thing? It's family friendly, it's PG clean or whatever. Then I have something that I can throw at them. You know, I was like, why would I be putting in like 2 days worth of editing work?
That's so funny.
Yeah. And so I caught myself right before I start. I mean, I did like two edits and I was like, what am I doing? Like, this is going to take forever. So with that one, I decided to meet myself halfway. I was like, all right, I did it. I got 20 minutes of family friendly clean stuff. I do say the word hell in there though. And so
no dry bar for you.
I can't submit the dry bar. It is crazy. Like when I still, you know, we've talked about goal setting and you've really inspired me, because this is a big thing that you do. And like, all right, I should try to, this was like the first step, right? Mm-hmm. Of like trying to get together a set that I could submit to Drive Bar. Because, you know, it does. It helps you, can help your career. You know, we've gotten friends that got Drive Bars, and because of that, they started headlining more rooms and better rooms and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And so it's something I want to go for. But it was a learning process. I was like, okay, because I was like Googling, like, what do the Mormons think about therapy? seriously. Like,
that's amazing.
I was just like, you know, I did all this research. I was like, okay, it seems like they're cool with this. I can do my jokes about therapy. But I've realized, like, I think I need to completely restructure. This was like a good first run, but to actually submit the dry bar, I'm going to have to really put together a different set, because I don't think I can do any, even though it's all framed within me getting and staying sober, I don't think I could do that, because I don't think they want you to acknowledge the existence of drinking.
Yeah.
You know, and I've not watched a ton of dry bars, but I mean, from talking to people, I know that they're pretty strict on things. Like I didn't do any of my marriage stuff, or most of my marriage stuff, because it's based around the idea of being married for a second time.
Right.
You know, which is a sin in their church.
You quit.
So I'm like, there's a joke. Yeah, I am married.
Yeah.
There's like one little marriage joke. It has nothing to do with the fact that I'm in the second marriage. So it's been really interesting to kind of analyze and go back through that. And then I'm thinking, okay, when am I going to tape this thing? You know, because I'm at Comedy Corner Underground this weekend, and they've got like a 2 or 3 camera setup in there that you can get good tape from. And it's like, do I dedicate the first half of my headlining set, more than half, because headlining sets there are on the shorter side, to getting this? And I might do that, but I'm going to have to like really, like, of the 20 minutes that I did featuring for Shanda, I'm probably going to have to cut at least 5.
That's a lot of time.
Yeah. Now that I've really kind of thought about it and fine tooth combed it and thought about like what the dry bar people would be okay with. And, you know, it's like they say, you only get to make a first impression once, you know?
Right.
And so I don't want to send them something that's completely off base, or even has, you know, they get so many submissions. Like, it doesn't take much for them to be like, nope, not this guy.
Yeah, exactly.
On to the next one. Yeah.
Would you, Is there a reason you haven't watched Dry Bar? Is it?
Well, it was all pay. You had to pay for it forever. Now, I know there is some free ones. And I've watched some of our friends, and I've seen tons of clips of Dry Bar.
Right.
Like, I've watched Kelly's and I've watched Brent's. I've not watched Shallafo's yet because I don't think it's on the free side yet. They don't go to the free YouTube channel for like over a year or something like that.
Yeah.
And I just like, I just don't want to subscribe to the app just to, which maybe I should, I don't know, do some research.
I because we have had friends that have done it. I wonder if it, I know people that haven't, they've like gone around the submission process and circumvented it that way.
Yeah.
So like, I wonder how actually strict it is as far as what you can do in the room versus what they'll put on set. Yeah. Not that it matters. I mean, they're going to edit it down regardless, but.
Right. Yeah.
If you feel like you can get flow going just by taking a chance.
Yeah. I was very happy with how these sets went. And because I also did not think to do this until like Saturday morning. The Friday sets, I just did what I wanted to do.
Right.
And then I was like, oh, this is a perfect amount of time to kind of grab something like this. And so for a first run, it was great. But I mean, it was one of those things where I was having fun, even though I was bringing back some really old jokes. And even though I was doing stuff that, you know, I'm definitely ready to retire and I don't want to do, you know, I still was able to have fun with it. And so I was kind of happy with that, that part of it. And it shows like they're fun sets, you know?
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I think I'm going to try and really spend the next couple of days figuring out what could be a 25 minute PG clean.
Right.
And just try to do it in Minneapolis and get tape of that to send, you know? And we have friends who've done it, and I know there is a referral aspect to it as well too, where you can kind of go around the submission process, but I still want to just have something. I'm just be like, this is what it would be.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and then if there's a joke here or two there that you want to cut, awesome. You know, but I think that pretty much from my understanding, what you shoot in the room is what people wind up seeing.
Yeah.
Like you don't shoot like an hour that they edit down to 25.
Yeah.
And so, cause they just run them one after another too. And so, you know, stories that I've heard, I know that, you know, Karen Rentowski, I heard this from another comedian, basically said God, and then, it's had to like flip it on the timing to bless it. She was like, God bless it. And then that's okay. That's apparently it's in the rules that the only time you can say God is if it's followed by bless.
That's outrageous.
Yeah.
That we are trying to navigate all of these things at once of getting social media clips are like, and then also trying to switch gears into like, this is ultra PG. This is like G comedy.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, it's a good exercise, I think. And we talk about trying to get good tape and how difficult it is. And I think a big motivator is obviously like not having a tape ready for this, but also looking for anything to make our lives easier moving forward, even though it's going to be hard as hell and maybe not that enjoyable. How many shows are you doing at CCU?
I'm just doing two. And so, I think it's only two. It might be three if the tickets go well. I don't know. I did do what you and I had talked about after last episode, after we got off air, and I did boost a well-performing clip of mine, an Instagram reel, and change the text of it, basically to Minneapolis. I'm going to be there this weekend. Click for tickets, you know, like that kind of thing. And it seems to be performing pretty well. It launched yesterday. I basically waited till the week of the shows. I'm sinking $100 into it, you know, $20 a day, basically, for these ads. Hopefully it does well. CCU's not that big, but it's also like, I'm not a draw. You know, there's Acme, there's Sisyphus, there's Laugh Camp. There's a lot of other comedy options happening in Minneapolis at any given time. And so, but they do have that great camera set up. So I'm like, okay, maybe this would be, you know, like this last weekend was a good dry run and good to like analyze it later and be like, oh, okay, I do need to drop that whole section and come up with some other stuff probably.
Yeah. You know? I've had shows at CCU with like 15 people that have been some of the best. Yeah. Like 40 people in that room is like unfair sometimes. And I've also had it where it's just, it's not that great of a response. Like last time I was there, they had just had the camera set up. Mm-hmm. And my first show was just like very mediocre. And then my second show, I lost my voice and I was real pissed off. Because I did the thing where that you were talking about. It's like, all right, I'm gonna be locked in, be very focused on this particular set, structure, order, so I could have this new mm-hmm. tape. And it just didn't work out for me. So fingers crossed, you keep your voice and yeah, you keep your sanity. I think, man, this, so people that don't know, Dry Bar is obviously a very clean comedy, focused program run by Mormons in Utah. Mm-hmm. And everybody's chasing this because they have incredible, incredible reach in the same way that you see Don't Tell clips online. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's like encroaching in a much different way. That's like, mm-hmm. I think we talked last week, I've been submitting to their site. I would love to get some Don't Tell clips because it's just, it's all cheating, you know, yeah. because the jokes are the same. It's yeah. just the platform and the reach. What comics used to talk about back in the day, like, oh, my 5-minute set on Letterman mm-hmm. got me a sitcom. It kind of right. feels like, oh, if I get a viral clip, I get headlining dates for the next 6 months.
Yeah. That's yeah. And that's what we're all chasing. And that's also makes it that much more, you know, hard to get because everyone's doing the same thing. You know, we're all yep. going after the same slice. I feel pretty good about like having a specific motive for the next few sets coming up. Like I have been writing some stuff that I like, and like I went to an open mic last night and did it, you know, didn't do any of the clean stuff. I just did like, okay, here's the kind of new ideas that I have.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, I did the open mic at the Comedy Attic last week, which was like just bonkers. It was yeah. just like home run derby. You know, like for all of the home team, like it was just crush, you know, mm-hmm. and the crowd was hot and everything. And you forget there's only a few handful of open mics in the country that are like that. You know, right. Comedy Club on States is like that. But most of the time, it's a kind of a more subdued thing. And particularly on a Monday night, you yep. know, there were some people in there that weren't comics. But the room was one of those rooms where I think the kind of people that come just to hang out are like, it's a cool room. It's cool. It's mm-hmm. a cool room, you know? And so they're like, oh, we're a little cool. And so like they kind of getting them to laugh at stuff was a little tough, you know? And not, I mean, not just me, but everybody, was right. just like had okay sets.
Right.
Some people had bad sets, but you know, like the best of us had, it was okay. You got some laughs,
yep.
you know, here and there. But it really was, I was like, why do I keep going to do open mics?
That's, I mean, that's what the open mic response is. It's like, Yeah, man. All right, cool.
It's hard to interpret that into usable data, you know.
Well, it's like if you keep doing this, at a certain point, you're just going to an open mic like that to say stuff out loud, to get in front of an audience and like get the words out of your mouth in a particular order and see how it feels, more so than yeah. I'm going to crush. If you're going to crush or kill, you would just do old stuff for some reason, which people right. do.
Yes. And that's why it's like, it's always great too, like when someone, or when I've done it too, where you're like, sometimes you do have to like, you got to save the mic.
Yeah.
The mic has been brutal. Like, all right, I need to step up and just do some hits. And like, and sometimes it works and it's great. And you can just like turn the whole energy in the room around by sacrificing your set to just doing the hits. But there's also times you think you're going to do that. And then also the hits don't work. And you're like, well, yeah.
Oh shit.
You're like, this feels 10 times worse now.
Yeah. I don't like this at all.
There is that thing though too, when that happens, where you can just know sort of objectively and talk about like the amount of data that you have, you're like, no, this audience is wrong.
Yeah,
like I've done these jokes 1,000 times in front of 1,000 different audiences, and most of the time is they've all worked.
Yep.
And so it's like, nope, you guys are incorrect.
Yeah.
That's an audience, you know.
Just say it to their face.
Yeah. Yep. Sometimes you have to, you know.
You guys are wrong. I did a Don't Tell an Indie this week.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's we've kind of talked a little bit about it, but let's jump in and recap our week. So you did Don't Tell.
Here in Indy, down the street from my house, it was outside, outdoor show, which was a beautiful day. I had gone to the art fair. There's a big art fair here in Indianapolis every year called Penrod. Went with the wife and the in-laws and bought some art. Found a portrait of James Baldwin and got a little Muhammad Ali print. So I was feeling real, real spicy going into the night. So those don't tell shows. It's just like, I don't have to promote it. I show up and the headlining set's 30 minutes and I go home. It's like the dream. It's literally like, I don't have to promote and I had to post clips. I don't have to reclip. I just get to go up and with no pressure really and have fun. It was a fun show. I don't think I've done a bad don't tell.
Yeah. I, you know, I'm trying to think of, I've not been on any, I've only run them. I was supposed to be on one in Indy right when things were first coming out of COVID, I think, maybe. It was on one side of the pandemic. It was either right like the onset of COVID or coming out of it. But the venue was just like, we don't feel comfortable. And everybody's like, we totally get it. But yeah, I've never been on one, but running them, you know, and hosting on them, yeah, like there's some sort of, there is generally a magic to them that's pretty great. And like, how was the crowd? Was it pretty full? Was it, you know, I know during the summer, and if it's as beautiful a weather as you're describing, it's kind of hard to get people to come out sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, it was out, it was outside. So it had that benefit at least. I'm not sure if they promoted it that way. I would say, so Ollie's is really set up for music more so than comedy, but it felt good. And I would say probably 40 people.
Yeah, that's great. That's all you need.
Felt good. And yeah, they really enjoyed the show. Yeah, even like, I was joking about this because, you know, you don't know who's on the show, but it's just, I know the Indianapolis one just uses locals a lot, which is probably something that I wouldn't do if I was running it.
Right.
Just running through locals because you want people to continue to come back. If you book a show that's like, all right, secret lineup, and they go to two back to back and it's similar people, you lose that customer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly. So
I would go regional, but the show was still good. I think I just think they have such a massive marketing budget that they're always going to be able to get people in there, which, a little jealous as a showrunner, but you know, I'll continue to do shows. And it was really like the pressure of headlining a show and then having to promote it and sell tickets. Once that's taken off your plate, I don't know, it's just a different feel. It's like, okay, I can actually have fun.
Right. Well, it feels like a feature set, because like when you feature at the club, it's never your fault if nobody came out. It's the headliner's fault, you know. And so like featuring is like a very low pressure, you know, kind of position to be in. And so it's like that, but you know, with the fact that you get to be the headliner. So I think it's a definitely like a win-win for sure. I would love to do some, and I just have not submitted a bunch. I also submitted to the LA one because like that's the one they tape and put out there.
Yeah. I want to do comedy on a rooftop in front of gorgeous people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I want to show them what like the hideousness of the Midwest can look like. Come on.
The hideousness. you gotta let the beard get back to full strength.
Yeah, yeah. I am thinking about growing my beard back to the crazy length again, because I was really like, you know, I'm 50 now. Like, do I try to be respectable, or do I just like lean into being like a weird old man, you know? And it's like, I feel like weird old man is probably a better move. Like, you know, speaking of which, just because I just thought of it and I don't want to forget this, we'll come back around to the other shows that you did this weekend. Did you do any other shows this weekend, or was that the only one?
That's all I did.
Okay. All right. Before I give my recap, one of the most amazing things that happened this weekend was I ran into an old friend, and we were at the Russian Recording 20th anniversary concert thing. Russian Recording is a recording studio here in Bloomington. They were putting on this like all day festival on Sunday with two different stages, food trucks, raffles. Like, the whole thing was dope. And I ran into my friend there, and they had some inside intel for me. about the Buskirk Chumlee job
and why
I didn't get it.
Oh, this is spicy.
Because they and their spouse are friends with other people that are like sort of on the advisory board and people that are on the board of directors for the theater itself and things like that. They're like somewhat connected, right? And they said this to me as if I already knew this.
Oh, no.
But the main reason I didn't get the job is because of a roast I did 4 years ago.
No.
When Danielle, the executive director of the Buskirk Chumlee, who had been there for 20 plus years, was leaving. And she asked me, she's like, I want you to roast me. I want you to do a roast. There's going to have this big ceremony for my leaving. I want you to come to roast me. So in that, I also wrote jokes about the city, right? And so I roasted the mayor, who I'm not a fan of, and his administration has some terrible policies, in my opinion. So I had two or three jokes about the mayor, which he was not there, but there was a mayor's table of staff.
Okay.
And the communications director for the city of Bloomington stood up and stormed out, right, at this event.
At this roast.
And so it turns out that person who stormed out is somehow on the advisory.
Oh my God.
And brought that up as if I couldn't be trusted to not say some wild shit if I was the executive director of the theater. And honestly, it made me so like happy and proud that that's why I didn't get the gig. I also want to say that the guy they hired is way more qualified than I am. Like, it's like, he definitely, if it was between me and him anyway, outside of that, like, he should have got the job anyway. He's definitely more qualified than I am. But the fact that that was apparently something that was noted as to why.
Oh my God. 4 years ago.
4 years ago, I did a couple of jokes about the mayor. And
God. That is fantastic. That is brilliant.
Yeah.
And this is why you should not do roasts ever. Because when you want to get out of the game, everybody remember the mean shit you said. That is, God damn. So this is just like such a comedy thing. Like it always gets back to the person.
Mm-hmm.
Like eventually. That's why we say don't talk shit. Because it's always going to get back to that person. Oh my God, dude. That's, I guess, good job on you for knocking the interview process out of the.
I'm surprised that I made it that far with that hanging over me.
How many bookers do you think act like this?
I don't know. I mean,
remember that thing he did. He did like 16 years ago.
I think in that way, I would say that I would hope that bookers wouldn't hold something that you said on stage against you if it was clearly a joke. And I should also point out these roast jokes were not like crazy. Like the only one I can distinctly remember about Hamilton, I was actually way harder on the previous two mayors because I roasted all the mayors who had been like in charge during the 20 years that Danielle was running the theater, because the theater is like sort of technically owned by the city or whatever. And I was way harder on John Fernandez, particularly, who was there and took it in stride, than I was on Hamilton. But the only thing I can remember really saying is I said that he was always Hamilton's always been a big supporter of the BCT, which is the shorthand for the Buskirk Chumlee Theater. I was like, but of course, when I say that, I mean the Bearcat Tactical Tank Unit, which, you know, or whatever it was called.
Yeah.
Which they had just bought this stupid armored vehicle, you know. And right. But that's like, that's the level of roast, is like I was calling him out about that sort of policy. And I think I also made some joke about his anti-homeless policies too. That's what caused them to,
searing, just searing. Yeah. It's funny too, because it's a communications director.
Exactly.
Like someone who is probably faux pas in public more times than we can count.
That little piece of news was pretty awesome.
That's hilarious. I love that. You can take that as a win, right?
I will. I'm going to put it in my bio.
Yeah. This man can't be trusted to not say wild shit on stage.
Yeah.
They'd be like, what's going to happen?
Man, you got,
I guess you got a, no, we could cut this out, but you got saucy at the end of Limestone.
I thought that would be one of the things that would, but it didn't. Like I called out a sponsor who bailed on us halfway through the process in a particularly shitty way. And I called them out a little bit, not by name, but everything you would need to know who it was.
Not by name.
not by name, but just a very easy riddle to figure out. But yeah, I did think, because I had already been in the interview process at that point. Yeah. I was like, that was a mistake. But also, like, as we've, you know, talked about in the podcast, like, this year was like kind of a tough year for me mentally on the in the festival. I kind of had like some stuff that happened that broke my brain on the second day.
Right.
Yeah. So right. Why not do it again another year?
Run it back.
Yeah. So but yeah, but no, I just wanted to make sure that I got that in there, because like when the person told me that on Sunday, was like, I can't wait to talk about this on the podcast.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah. I did some really great shows this past weekend. Thursday night I did the mic at the Comedy Attic, and again it was great. And you know, like, special shout out to Emily Davis, who closed it out and did all brand new stuff that she wrote that day that just crushed. And she started off her set by calling out these three like super loud college girls that were just like had been in the bathroom yelling and, you know, probably doing blow, who knows. But they made their way back to their seats, like as she went up there, she called them out like really well, and then made her first joke about them basically. And then it just like, and she just crushed the whole, like, yeah. So she definitely turned some of the sorority girls in the audience against her, you know. Good. But she's still destroyed. And then same thing, man. The Shanda and Friends shows were so good, and Shanda's just become like a pro and just a killer. Mm-hmm. Like the Friday, both shows were maybe half full and a little up and down for everybody on the bill. Like it was like a little bit like, okay, you get them here, but then you wouldn't get them in a place that you think you would. It was just a lot of back and forth. The Saturday shows were great though. But Shanda closing out all of them, she's rotating material, she's just like doing what she has to do to get it, you know, wrapped up nicely. So big shout out to Shanda, like she just crushed it. Not that I'm surprised, but you know, it was good to just see your friend getting up there, and as like I like to say, she was strutting and nutting up there. And
love a strutter and nutter.
Yeah
love a strutter and nutter. That's I'm not surprised. Shanda is, for the last couple of years, been just ascending, just like not plateauing, doing really interesting stuff that, you know, I appreciate. She's a great comic, so
yeah,
it's good to have it's good that she can have her night there.
This, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so, and this was a last minute thing when another headliner had to cancel. And it did lead to a very amusing misunderstanding on Saturday. Apparently a guy showed up and kind of late, you know, like maybe 5 minutes before the show was about to start, and was super mad that there weren't any front row seats available, because he had paid $100 for front row VIP seats. And they're like, and the box office person's like, we've never done that. We've only ever been general admission. Turns out eventually what they find out is like, and this person was fine, like they wound up sitting not in the front row but on those side seats that are right by the stage without a table. And so the whole time we're like, oh, they're gonna be pissed off, but they were great audience members, they were into the whole show. But the person who had canceled on this weekend, they were selling VIP tickets.
What?
Somehow yeah,
like a resale market, like they bought tickets and then
I think they were going to or I don't know, I have not talked to Jared about that, if he was aware of this, or if they were going to just say, I need the front two tables reserved and here's my list.
Okay. Yeah.
So I don't know, but they were like, you know, and there is TikTok person, you know, of course, doing this kind of shit.
Like,
yeah,
I know it's not illegal, but it's fucking, it should be, for one. I mean, right. Ticket sites do this, but how about you never get to come back to the club?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But yeah, so that person, you know, and apparently the when they canceled this TikTok person, they've rescheduled, so they are going to come back. And so the guy was originally like, eventually they were like, no, you get to come back, you'll get your special seats or whatever. So maybe Jared did know about it, but yeah. But it was, we were all like, this is crazy that someone thought they paid $100 to see the show. But it's wild out there, man. It's wild for sure. Yeah. But they were great sets. I had a lot of fun. And like I said, I focus on that Saturday one, and I'm feeling good. Feeling good going into Comedy Corner Underground this weekend, even though the open mic was kind of like, I was kind of like, I'm kind of glad it was a little sucky, because usually that means then the next shows are good, you know?
Yeah. Yeah,
like you never want to have the hottest smashing guest set right before your headlining show.
You're like, it's like,
oh no, yeah,
can't match that.
Use all that mojo on that one show. All right, yeah.
Cannot match that energy. Yes, you're running ads for Minneapolis CCU. I will be in Louisville this week, and not last weekend. Like I said on last week's podcast, I will be doing some don't tell shows, which. Sorry, spoil the surprise, and then I'll be at Spinelli's Pizzeria on Saturday, the 16th. Have you been there? It's like a music venue, I see.
I think I've been to Spinelli's years and years and years ago. They've been a pizza place in Louisville forever. Yeah. In my mind, I think their pizza's not very good.
Oh, excited.
But there's like another place that sounds very similar that I might be thinking of. I don't know. But yeah, I am familiar with it. It's right on Bardstown or Baxter, I think, right? It's like right on that main drag of all the shit.
Yeah, I'd have to look it up. But yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I mean, you can't have bad pizza with the name Spinelli's.
You would think not. And if it might be a different one that I'm thinking of. So maybe if the pizza's good, I apologize to Spinelli's, but I know there is a Italian last named pizza place in Louisville that was some of the worst pizza I've ever had in my life.
Saying some shit. As and a
people,
person
and people who's... know about it. People all around all know about it, but it's like the only pizza place that would also deliver at like 4 a.m.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And okay. It's just like, I guess you get what you get when you're ordering at 4 a.m. You know?
Sure. Now, are we going Casey's on the road or Spinelli's?
I would get Casey's on the road
any day
of the week over whatever that pizza was that I got. And again, it might not be Spinelli's. It might be something like Fratelli's or something like that. I can't remember now what it was.
Well, guys, come to my show on Saturday. Eat before you get there. Oh, no, I'd love, I mean, I like, I always go to Against the Grain. They have some of my favorite beer, and it's the Smokehouse right by the stadium there. And what did I eat last time? I haven't performed in Louisville in like a couple of years.
That's good. Yeah.
Well, yeah. It's good.
Yeah. I just Googled terrible Louisville pizza.
Matt's Google searches lately have been out of control. Yes. Do Mormons like therapy?
I know.
Mormons,
man.
Like bad pizza.
Did Mormons like pizza? What can I talk about? What can I possibly talk about?
How to get dry bar.
Yeah. but anyway, so you will be down here in Louisville doing a bunch of shows and having fun in my hometown. I will be in Minneapolis, Minnesota this weekend at Comedy Corner Underground for two shows. Those tickets are available on my website and also on CCU website as well. To come out, it'll be fun. It's not going to be entirely clean. I'm going to move into some edgier material.
Ooh, he might say hell again.
I might say hell again.
You never know.
Yeah. And then after that, just looking ahead, I do have the following weekend. I'm back in Minnesota again in Rochester, Minnesota at Goonies. I'm excited. It's been a minute since I've been to Goonies, but I've always had good shows there. And in fact, one of my feature sets at a Goonies, I think the last time I was there, was a submission tape that I used for years.
Oh, nice.
Like, it was such a good crowd, such a hot room, and it was just like I used that for a long time. So looking forward to heading back there. What do you got going on past this weekend?
I like Goonies. I love a comedy club where the hotels you just walk downstairs. Let's see, what do I got? I'm going to Baltimore doing spots out there September 22nd through the 24th. And then on September 29th, I am performing at the Kurt Vonnegut Gala at the Madam Walker Theater. Very excited about that. And then got some festivals coming up in October, but all that's on my website at DwightSimmons.com. And I'm thinking of changing it to DwayneSimmons.com and seeing if that helps the booking process.
That helps you get in. Yeah, I don't want to jinx myself, but I will say that I've been pretty consistently booking some stuff ever since the challenge. I think basically, I think manifestation is real. Yeah. And, you know, like by really putting my energy into it for those 14 days, I'm still getting like dividends from that, which is great.
Yeah, it's great.
Together some interesting runs for next year. So
maybe we do it every like 3 or 4 months.
Yeah, I think that's probably good. Or like twice a year would be good, you know. Yeah. That would be cool. We do have a question of the week. Are you ready for the question of the week?
I certainly hope so.
Okay. So this comes to us from Jared C, aka Jared Cheek, aka Jared, I think number 2 or number 3. I can't remember. Jared from the attic has given all other Jareds a numeric descriptor. Jared's been a friend of the festival for a long time. He would run the merch table for us for like the first 8 years or so. And just a dope dude. He runs a record label called Flamograph Records, and also a cool little thing called Tolliver Souvenirs, which is brick-brack knickknacks.
Yeah,
patty wax, all above, but just some really cool stuff. And he has written into the podcast with the following question. At the beginning of episodes of your hit podcast, when you say that you are Midwest based comedians, are you saying that you are based in the Midwest, as in that's where you currently live? Or are you saying that you are Midwest comedians who are based? Or is it both?
This is a question from someone who does own a knickknack shop.
Really, you think a lot of Lil B fans are into the knickknack?
I do. I went to see Janelle Monáe on Sunday, so I am fired up. It's cool to be a Midwest-based comedian because of several reasons, but being centrally located is the greatest benefit, in my opinion, of just being able to like be in like 7 different drivable to 7 different cities is really cool. So I would say I'm more Midwest based.
But you're not based? You don't think you're based?
I don't think I'm based.
I think you're based.
You think I'm based?
I think you're like an authentic dude. Yeah. I think you're your authentic self.
Is that what that means?
That's what that means. The two of us. Who would have thought that I would have known and you wouldn't have known based means? Yeah. In the current usage of it, because I mean, in like the 90s, it was someone that was like a crackhead. They were based. But now in like the urban slang.
I thought it was like an addict.
No. In the urban slang, which is why I talk about Lil B, because he has a song about it where he like flips the meaning of it. And that's what the current usage of it is. The current usage of it is like anything that you're on board with or that you're authentic and true to. And so it like when someone is based, it means like they're like a real G, you know, they're not fronting in these streets. Okay. I'm trying to use some older slang for you that you might understand.
I know. I was like, man, he's really, he's really getting into 90s grunge and hip hop.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. You know, you just a real G. He's like, just quoted, what's that Tupac movie?
Juice.
Yeah. Juice. Now you got the juice now, brother.
Yes. I was going to say we are both based in the Midwest, but we are also both based because I think we're pretty genuine, authentic people. Unless Jared has some other meaning of this word that I don't know of, but
yeah, I had to Urban Dictionary it.
Okay. I was correct though, right? That's what it means. Like it means like being genuine and true. Right?
Yeah.
Being like real.
The opposite of biased.
Oh, okay. There you go. All right.
Coined by rapper Lil B.
See, I knew it was from like a song. Yep. Is. Yeah.
And the word originally took off on the meta ironic website 4chan with the latter meaning. Yikes.
Wow, I did not know that. Wow. So Jared, thanks for reporting in from 4chan.
Yeah, it was like one sentence about Lil B and there's like 4 paragraphs about meta irony and shit posting and 4chan and political compass. Yeah. We lost a word. We lost one.
We got it back and then we lost it again.
So now I don't feel guilty at all for not knowing this.
Yeah, now I'm looking it up to say maybe I'm gonna change my answer.
Ooh, we got a, oh no, in reference to right-wing personality, Ben Shapiro.
Oh no.
We're heading the wrong direction.
Yeah.
Meta ironic. Okay. Okay. So does that change your answer?
Sure. Like, I'm gonna say depends.
Depends. Oh man. It's like when Megan and I bought a bunch of tiki torches before Charlottesville happened. Well, I guess I'll keep these in the shed for a while.
Uh-huh.
Burn my khakis.
Yeah, you can use them to burn your khakis. So then you go, yeah. You know.
That's a is that a record for the shortest question we've had on this podcast?
It might be. It's not a multi. It was only two-parter. I guess it was an either or. I think it was a would you rather, you know, so.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
But thank you for the question, Jared. Appreciate it. And hopefully we at least amused you if we did not answer the question that we don't fully understand.
We 100% did not answer your question. Yeah. And I apologize, Jared.
If you would like to send us a question that may or may not get answered, you can do so at our email, which is mattanddwight@gmail.com. that is mattanddwight@gmail.com. We'd love to take a crack at any of your comedy related questions or questionable slang questions. We'll do our best because we're based, or are we?
This is why I brought up Janelle Monáe, because she's
Yeah.
Like, all right, so we went and I was excited because Jadena was opening up, is supposed to be opening up, and the concert started late, which isn't abnormal, but apparently he missed his flight and wasn't there. So it was just like the opening act and then Janelle Monáe, which she put on a fantastic show. Yeah. But there were so many slang words I did not understand. I felt fucking old. Old.
What, just give us a couple. Oh. You can quiz me and I'll see if I know, and I won't Google it.
You won't Google it?
Yeah.
Hold on.
Yeah. Do you remember any of them? Did you look them up when you got home?
I did not. I also like that her nickname is Django Jane.
Okay.
I do not remember any of the lyrics, but like,
now is that a nickname or is that a persona that she's taking on for this tour? Is that like a character that she's playing?
It was a song she did.
Oh, okay.
And then but mostly with like the opening act, it was two women and they were like really talented. They were like dancing, gangster rap, singing. They were doing it all, but I was like, I don't know what any of these songs are about. Like new body parts.
New body parts. Okay.
Yeah. I wish I could be more specific, but I just,
yes,
I wanted you to know how old I felt.
Sure. I bet new body parts is about, I'm assuming that is about, receiving the Holy Spirit at communion, you know?
Yeah.
Because sure. that cracker turns into the flesh of Jesus once you consume it. And so you got some new body parts. You got like a little Jesus pinky in your belly right there. You know,
I like the way that you took it. I like the way that you took that. But I've been now I feel guilty. Like I've been doing my new music Friday to get back hip.
That's good.
Got to get back hip. But sometimes I just can't. I am an old man and I know how I sound when I say I can't with some of the new hip hop. A lot of it's good. A lot of it's garbage.
Yeah. I did the same thing, but I was doing it with like rock, like a heavier, aggressiver kind of like rock music has been the thing that I've been like, because there seems to be an upswell in that, like as a reaction, which always happens this way in music, but you know, in the indie rock, the popular guitar driven music has gotten kind of like very chill, and they, you know, it's like the Tame Impalas of the world. It's just very laid back. And so there is this upswell of louder, crazier, more aggressive music happening, which I'm totally into. But yeah, I'm with you, man. Like hip hop, like, man, once the like the Migos like mumbling like singing thing took over hip hop, like it was hard for me to get on board with listening to a lot of it. I would still hear occasional people like the Joey Badass record came out and I was like, oh, this is dope, Yeah. You know, there's like still a few things here and there, but like as a whole, as a genre, I'm like, well, I'm done.
You do have to accept it as a whole, which is tough sometimes, you know?
Right. So well, that's the problem, particularly with hip hop, is that when something becomes popular, everyone does it.
Yep.
Like no one just stays in their lane and just does it, which, you know, and which is why the 90s is the greatest era ever, because you had hardcore gangster rap, you had like, you know, you had like just flowing like lyrical masters, you know, that weren't trying to do that. You had, Set Adrift on Memory Bliss. What's PM Dawn? You had like these two like hippy dippy dudes, you know, like everybody could be whoever they wanted, you know, it was crazy. But then it just got more and more like whatever,
for everybody,
you know, it's trap. Now everyone's doing their version of trap. Now everyone's doing their version of like that, you know, whatever the trend is. And it just makes it uninteresting in my opinion, you know?
Yeah.
So that's just old head, my old head coming back going.
Y'all ain't talk about nothing no more.
You ain't talking about nothing. You're not doing it technically proficiently.
Baby Got Back is skill.
Dude, like there is a technical proficiency to something like that. To even like if people love to clown on Will Smith as a rapper. Try to do Wild Wild West at karaoke. Yeah, try to do it.
Try to say it to his face.
He is spitting so fast.
To his wife's face. Yeah, he's great.
Yeah. Like, yeah. But and no one's really doing that anymore. Not in the mainstream anymore. You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. This is where we land. Will Smith is the greatest rapper of all time.
And I defend his actions, good or bad.
Oh, poor Will Smith, man.
No, that guy can't catch a break.
Can't catch a break. I don't know. He literally might be the only billionaire I feel bad for.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. All right. What else we got? Right. You got anything else?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. I like comedy stuff going on. I don't know if there's any like news in the comedy world that we really need to talk about.
Slow week.
I have not heard anything. Yeah, like just I think things are coming back. Contests are pretty much over. Clubs are heading back to their regular schedules again. You know, we're out here just trying to do it, you know.
Banging and what'd you say? Bumping and grinding?
Yes.
Oh, that's R. Kelly. You said slanging and hanging?
Ain't nothing wrong with a little bump and grind. That's what I'm saying, you know.
What did you think? You said nutting and button? What was it?
Strutting and nutting up there. Strutting and nutting up there.
Oh, it couldn't be nutting and button. That's outrageous.
Yeah, that's for people that don't know here on the podcast, which I think is everybody, because I don't think I've ever said it before on the podcast. I've only said it on social media before. But that is my nomination to replace the comics always taking pictures of their friends at a terrible open mic usually. And then like, they're totally crushing. So-and-so killing, crushing. Instead of saying killing and crushing, destroying. Say that they're strutting and nutting up there. It's just more fun.
It is fun. It is fun to say.
Yeah.
It's fun to play off of too.
Yeah. Do you have a version that you like to put in the lexicon?
No, I just make fun of people's shirts mostly. Okay.
You're in the comments of those photos. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how you're going to be nutting in that shirt.
That ain't no strut.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to another episode of the podcast. As always, if you want to rate and review and leave a little note for us, that would be great. And as we said before earlier in the podcast, we'd love to receive your questions. You can do that via email at mattanddwight@gmail.com. That is mattanddwight@gmail.com. If that one doesn't work, you can try mattanddwayne@hotmail.com. Try it.
Yeah. Follow us and get based.